t-shirt. Hmm? You get paid for working? What kind of artist are you?
I kind of need that, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the Yay! Sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we are joined today by a very, very special guest,
Lauren.
Yay! Yay! We have Lauren Eddy with us today, who is an artist and is an artist or artiste? Which one do you prefer?
I guess it depends on where I am.
is that what the difference is?
Yes. Artiste, then, here at the
All right, AOM well, Mass. I mean, we are classy as fuck, so.
Yeah, it's true. We got, so classy, in fact.
Mm-hmm. We have a fart cupboard.
Oh.
We do indeed have a
fart cupboard. I believe you mean a pot cupboard.
Fart cupboard.
Is the difference how A's are pronounced, right?
Yes, it is. Well, the R has to, if it's a hard R, yeah, it's a fart cupboard. Yeah.
So we see vases here.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Fart As opposed to those. Really, we're phased out.
Yeah, we
out.
Say vase instead of vars.
what the shit just happened?
I don't know. What we
what
need
kind
is
of foss is this?
Obviously, what we need is booze.
Oh, yes, I like clearly. Booze. Classy booze.
What are we drinking?
Classy booze.
Liquid joy, right?
It's a Trent right? to do. Old Patch Red. It's a red wine from California.
Old Patch Red, lot number 44.
Yes. It's a blend.
It's from 2016, a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blend of, actually, it's got...
what do you mean 2016 was a terrible year? Remember, like, everybody under the sun died and...
And made this wine.
Yeah, but that was the year before the elections were decided.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that was the year that the election was decided.
Oh, God. That's
2016 was a terrible year.
Yeah, but it didn't start until January.
But there had to be something good that came out of it, so I'm really hoping that this is it.
All right, we'll for karmic balance, we'll go and find out if this wine is...
looking at this wine, the viscosity is little to none.
The legs.
So, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of legs going
it's
on
kinda,
there.
The smell isn't super pungent,
bright
though, so
pink
I approve of that.
Smell.
Yeah.
It is... Mm. It is Mm-hmm. Dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Like my soul. It
smells like church pews and...
God damn it.
What, for a second there, I thought I wasn't going to be serious enough.
We sometimes open the doors to this cupboard.
That's right
our buttocks against it. And break wind directly into it and then trap it in there by closing the doors hastily.
Well, that way you're not gassing everybody else.
Correct.
It's the polite thing to do.
Correct. It's a fart cupboard.
This is a classy.
That's why the guys stand on that side of the bar.
You jar it and sell it.
My farts it smell ferment. Like, yes. Yes.
Ferment.
It's oak barreled. So
I mean,
plywood barrel.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
We use it to, we sell it in jars as a fixant for.
Well, I think it tastes good.
For super glue.
This is
good. It's really rich.
Yeah,
it is quite
super rich.
I didn't expect it to be quite that rich.
I think I need to
it's
add
rich,
this.
It's fruity.
Oh shit, I got a right wine.
Robust.
Ew.
Oh shit, I got a right wine?
Yes.
That's amazing.
The after part of this isn't really doing it for me.
Really?
There's It's almost over tannin-y to me at the end. Hmm. Like over
what does tannin-y mean?
I don't know, but it sounds really impressive.
It's the sort of dry taste that you get when if you've ever tasted leather for any reason, or if you
Do you
drink
know what kind of things
tea.
I've licked?
Yeah, no, tannin is the compound
it's found
in the skin of the grape, which is why you don't get it in white wines, because they remove the skins with white wines, but they leave the skin on for reds. And so tannin is a compound in the skin, and that's what gives it the very dry kind of... What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, licking leather is probably...
Yeah. There's also scotch. Scotch has a lot of the tannin... flavor to it.
So tannin's really leather licking, and also I found out vanilla comes from beaver butts. So
yes,
anal
secretion.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's difficult to cultivate, and so the synthetic is now just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
I mean,
if not better,
right? I mean, like, I don't know where that beaver butt's been.
We use every part of the beaver, son.
Oh God.
Sorry, I was like, I learned something new about wine, but also beaver butt.
Don't apologize.
No, yeah.
You have just slid yourself right into this podcast.
And this wine has hints of oak and beaver butt.
Mm.
Yep,
and it's quite delicious.
Oh.
It's got a little hockey stick flavor to it.
Oh yeah.
Watch this.
Oh yeah, there's some hockey stick and some sweaty leather gloves.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's accurate.
It tastes like a hockey fight in my mouth.
Oh yeah.
And everybody's invited.
Just gonna let that one sit.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. I was gonna follow that up, and then I decided against it. I have things to say. They should. Not be
safe. How about instead of saying them, we say what we've been up to?
What have we been up to? I had a birthday.
Jenna had a birthday.
I got old.
I showed up for a little while.
Yeah, I hit level 38.
Nice.
A lot of people. Things that I dislike. Thank you. When people are like, so you're 29, right? I'm like, fucking, I have a near adult child. No. Ew.
No, that
ew.
Would make that super weird.
Ew, that's not okay at all.
No.
Oh, gross. But, like, everybody's always like, oh, so you want to be young. I'm like, I mean, I am young. That's my last name. But,
uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I'm like,
you are very literally a young woman.
I have been through far too much shit to want to continue to be young. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, being young was awful.
I mean, it was okay, but... Like, I've earned this shit, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I've earned the gray hairs you can't see because I dye my hair.
Like, everybody's like, high school is the best time of your life and you're going to want to go back. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
But
somebody complimented me on my gray hairs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they call them distinguished?
No. God, no. Please, no. No. No, nothing about me should ever be distinguished. Except distinguished as being different from something else.
They are distinguished from the rest of your hair.
I was like, yeah, you know, it's a. I am excited to get more gray in there because in my beard and everything because you know I think it'll look nice. I'm really looking forward to being a silver old man. You know,
you're going for the salt and paprika,
right? I said, well, no. I said salt and pepper, and she was like. No, it's cinnamon sugar.
Ooh, cinnamon.
I like
right.
Oh.
Gandalf the cinnamon
like,
sugar.
Oh. I get it.
Yeah.
Ha. I yep.
And then they made out.
Yeah. As far as I understand the story, yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
So your birthday.
So yeah, I had a bunch of birthday stuff, and I still have more birthday stuff to come. I've had a couple of shitty birthdays the past few birthdays, so I'm like fucking making up.
Also,
for it.
You're an adult; you get to make that decision.
Yeah,
birthday cake every day if you want.
Look, everybody, we're having a birthday party. We had one yesterday. Fuck you. We're having another
one.
Yeah, no.
Happy it's
unbirthday.
Fucking somebody's birthday somewhere. Eat the cake and shut up.
Eat the fucking cake.
You just say it's you, Merry, Merry Unbirthday.
So no, Thursday was my actual birthday, and we had a fearless meeting that day, which was fine. And then a bunch of us went out for drinks afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that was birthday thing number... that was chapter one. I had a prequel where I got some birthday presents from people, including the parasol that I used for like half of Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Because KJ, who's super sweet... knew that I wanted to get one of the more brightly colored parasols because my black one was cool, but it matched.
An explosion of color.
Yeah.
So
I wanted, you know, I wanted it to stand out because it's kind of like my main prop. And so KJ just bought one for me and was like, it can be your birthday present. I'm like, you're sweet. Thank you. And I got like other birthday presents and like all of the birthday stuff's final weekend. Several people... said and or did things. I got a flower that was lovely.
Aww.
So then there was my actual birthday, and then the next day I went to see Justin Link. I had a me day for my birthday.
Yeah. Very
and
nice.
I saw Justin Link, and I was going to go like super bold with colors, but we ended up not quite doing that. But it's still pretty impressive, like,
yeah,
reds. So I've got like a kind of an orangish red on top, like a dark coppery kind of thing going on the very top. And then I've got like a more of like a rubyish, like a dulled ruby.
It's kind of layers.
And then on the bottom part, I've got a purplish, a plum wine, I believe he called it, on the underlayers. So mm-hmm.
You are technically, with the sweater and the hair, you are my favorite color palette that I've made the other day.
That's
like coming from an artist.
I know. That is the best compliment I've ever gotten.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome.
Wait, it might tie with the gay man who said that I had very aesthetically pleasing breasts.
Ooh, that's hard to top.
I know, that's right? But it's really close. It's undecided.
I don't think I can.
It is, in fact, a topless compliment.
I was, in fact, topless at the time. So, yeah. How else was he going to judge?
That's true.
But yeah, I'm blushing a little bit. Yeah. Anyway,
of all of the conversations that we have had down here, that's the one that makes you blush?
Because nobody ever says anything nice about me. You can say 18 million things about like my sex life or my whatever, and I'm not going to be like super whatever. But if you say something like genuinely nice or sweet about me, I don't know how to fucking handle that shit.
There was that one time.
I think I blushed for that.
I do watch you guys insult each other, and that's like the only time. Right?
Like, it is really the only way we know how to interact with one another.
Right.
It's kind of true.
We're not good models for societal interaction in general. Right, yeah.
Or good people.
Aw, yeah. That's not true.
No.
Look, I'm an excellent retriever, but I'm a terrible person.
I'm not a good person. I'm a good like alien.
Like a chaotic neutral person.
I'm a good carny, but I'm not a good person.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm chaotic neutral for sure.
Nice.
Yeah. I get that on all of the tests. Like that's the one that they're just like, nope, really, you're this one.
You can't be lawful good in America. Just can't. Sorry, topic I won't go into.
I mean, I can try.
Sometimes I get true neutral, which is weird. Mm. Like I didn't think anybody actually did that.
True neutral.
So yeah.
Spock.
I'm trying to think of who's a good true neutral.
Spock's kind of lawful neutral.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's very rules.
Yeah, would Rick be chaotic neutral, or would he would definitely be neutral?
Like Rick and Morty, Rick?
Yeah. Because he's so
sometimes
out.
I feel like chaos just happens around.
I think he's chaotic evil.
I don't think he's evil though. He has too many feelings that he goes with. But also,
but the
show
gets the chaotic part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but chaotic.
Turn yourself into a pickle
to avoid therapy.
Right,
that's an option.
Yes,
apparently.
Huh?
Unless you get stuck out in the sun.
I feel like you're pickling yourself enough.
I'm old. So anyway, celebrating
more,
birthday.
More birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And then like I did like wine with a book and the music and the bubble bath type thing later that day.
Nice.
That was incredible. I got my driver's license like renewed because it is
party.
Just and I got it done during the middle of the day because I took the day off of work, which meant I was actually like in and out of there real quick, which never happens to me at the DMV.
Nobody knows you were there.
It does happen to me during dates though. So
and mystery dates.
Mystery date. Oh God. Ooh.
With Chris Evans.
It was.
Yes. But then, next day, I had my giant shenanigans bash. Where
all the shenaniganery happened.
There was, in fact. We did sushi at Kyoto.
Yes.
And that was like fucking 30 people there.
Yes.
Like, that was...
I didn't count. I was busy eating.
Incredible. I mean, as you should have been.
Yes.
But there were a lot of people there. Like, I had originally called that. Like, I got kind of a rough estimate. I was like, okay, who's for sure going to be there? Who's hoping to be there? Who might swing by? Like, kind of trying to gauge how many people. Mm-hmm. And so I'd guessed at about 20.
Sure.
And when I called Kyoto to be like, hey, so there might be 20 of us. They're like, so 15? I'm like, I mean,
You're adorable. Sure.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
Like, I was already kind of underestimating, thinking, well,
can
we can
take over. Put your hibachis together?
Yeah. Oh, God. plug a few things. No. Bad date. Bad. Oh, ow. Ow. Ah.
I don't even know what that means.
It means a lot of sizzling and burning. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, there were like 30 of us, and it was absolutely chaotic and fantastic and wonderful.
Chaotic good?
Chaotic neutral. No, chaotic.
Okay.
And then after that, went to the Vegas Lounge for karaoke. And the list was already long and huge, but I got a couple of songs in.
Nice.
I did I Will Survive, which is the Woo. Song that I always open with, because it's kind of like my I know this. It's a warm up.
It's a good birthday song, too. Like, I made it.
Yeah. Shit, kids. I fucking survived. It's a crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people dancing in their spots, so that was fantastic. I enjoyed that and singing along. And then the other one that I did was Bitch.
Yes, because,
yeah, that's a song.
Oh, goodness.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover. Oh, I'm a that one.
Okay, it's just, I didn't that's know the that name was called bitch. I just thought you were like, yeah. Bitch, and then we're gonna actually say the name.
Yeah, no, yeah. Bitch, that's no, the name. Better. Bitch. So I sang that one, and I had all of the people singing to all of the girls with the fake nails were just jamming their shit out to that one. It was incredible.
Like a euphemism?
Yeah, sure. I mean, don't overthink that. Ah. Anyway,
And there's very little risk of that with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the best song... And there were a lot of people saying, and it was fantastic, but the best song, the best birthday present to ever happen to me on the face of the planet was Heather, the marketing director for Fearless,
mm-hmm.
and Matthew Kessen. So picture, incredibly tall, slightly balding, nerdy white dude that talks about monsters a lot.
Yep.
And Heather is a short... red hair, very just kind of a kind of that redhead, rosy, fresh face. You know what I mean? Like just kind of this innocent looking thing. And they sang, I can't remember the name of it, but it is the... No.
Sorry.
Monster Mash?
No.
Damn it.
No.
Yeah.
They rapped.
Oh. Wow.
They did the Dr. Dre and Eminem song.
Oh, gotcha.
That one.
Forgot about Dre?
Yeah. Yeah, they did that.
Nice.
And Heather was Eminem. And my favorite part, so you've got, and Kessen was, of course, in a suit, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
So you've got dude in a suit, and they were fucking spot on, by the way. Like, everything was perfect in that rap. And you've got, like, Kessen's doing his thing, and he's kind of, you know, bobbing his head a little bit, jamming, getting the emotion in there when he was rapping. Mm-hmm. And then when he wasn't, he just stood there with his arms crossed, looking for all of the world, just out disgruntled with everything. And then Heather, even though she had, like, stitches recently, like, she's been, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was just, like, moving her body when she was rapping and bopping around and just, like, and just so into it, the both of them. I was just...
Well, Heather did... Was it Drake at yes. Lip Sync? Epic yeah. Lip Sync yep. Battle.
Yeah.
So I can absolutely see her getting into that.
She's so fucking good. So, yeah, that was the best thing ceremony. To ever happen. Yes.
I still remember the slideshow.
The slideshow was so perfect. But, yeah. So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like we hung out and we talked and that was fantastic. And random people that I didn't even invite showed up.
Woo!
So that was exciting.
And much sake was consumed.
Yeah, well, that was earlier at Kyoto. Vegas doesn't have sake.
I wasn't at Vegas. I just had sake and sushi.
Yeah, which was
Oh, what great. A terrible time.
I know.
Yeah, it was awful.
What an awful problem to have.
Oh.
James, how about yourself?
I've got one more birthday thing. Oh, sorry, I have another birthday thing coming up.
It sounded like you were wrapping up.
I have another birthday thing coming up. Okay. I'm going to get together with a select group of people and play video games.
Yeah.
Woo! We're going up, down. It'll be fantastic. Woot. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm going to see if I can just find other birthday shenanigans. Somebody owes me a dinner. Somebody's like, can I take you out for birthday dinner instead? I'm like, oh, cool, sure. So, yeah, I'm just going to drag this shit out as long as I fucking
can. Put together a birthday party at Can Can Wonderland. Like,
well, that's a good plan.
That's
there we
a
go.
Great idea. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to see if I can sandwich that in. There is one more last minute.
Are we not doing freezing?
I said she said.
That's what she said. She said.
So yeah, that's what he said.
I hope phrasing said.
That's what she said. He said. She said. She said.
I have a boyfriend who speaks in euphemisms. I need it.
Excellent.
But I did get one more kind of last minute birthday present, which was a ticket to see Eddie Izzard. You were so jealous.
I am motherfucking jealous.
Oh my god, it was incredible. I didn't realize that it was kind of more of a book promotional show.
Sure.
So I got to hear so much about Eddie's life and just various things. And Eddie talked a lot about you know, getting started in theater and how he was never cast for anything because he was short and whatever. And then
he's short?
The creepy
like
kid.
As a kid. Oh, yeah. Like didn't hit the tall until later. So then he started doing, like, the Fringe Festival out there, the Edinburgh, the big, giant one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, and we sucked. Then we did it again the next year, and we sucked less. Like, you know, just getting into that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and then I tried street performance. And he said this, he talked at length about street performance, which, as a street performer, I was like, keep going. Tell me all of the amazing things. It was wonderful. And I posted it to Facebook, but I want to share it here too, although I don't have the exact quote. But basically he said that street performance is what made him, because it completely destroyed his confidence and then built it back up. And that's how you learn, that's how you grow. And I was just like, oh my god, you have said everything I've ever wanted to say about the experience of street performance in just like this short little snippet. It was great.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of how he works.
Yeah,
everything I needed to hear today.
There you go. Done. We're out. Woo. Podcast done.
Yeah.
No,
all right. Well, thank you very much for listening.
Great. Thank you to True Stone.
Eat the fucking cake, apparently. So,
I already said that line.
All right. Well, then we're... Bye.
No.
James, what have you been up to?
Oh.
Okay.
I have a new job.
Yay!
Yeah. I have a new job, and I'm very excited for it, but it also means that I'm going to be moving. So that I'm, again, because right now I live 12 minutes away from my current job, right? And this one's across town. And I used to commute across town, and it's the butt sucks.
Yep.
So I choose, given, and for that and a couple of other reasons, I am choosing to move into a friend's basement and pay rent there. And my new room is going to be the swankest.
Yeah.
So we're going to be recording there.
The swankest. I mean, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. I will
talk
have
to Raiderly about that.
I will have my own bar.
Yeah, that's not going to go over very well.
I will have my own bar with a sink and a record player and a fireplace. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's smaller.
Room too?
It will be. Yeah.
I have
a really good bed. I'm very pleased.
That podcast would start with Barry White every time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking about sex.
I forgot about that podcast.
I can dig it.
Boom. Didn't want to interrupt.
Right? I'm just like... Do I add to this one, or do I just... I think I let this one go.
That one is you just sit in awe of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Just let that one happen. Less awe and more awe.
I was thinking more like,
oh. I was thinking, awe.
Yeah.
I was like, how long is this going to go?
Yeah.
What's your new job?
I'm kind of what I'm doing now, but with more of a focus on documentation
and more and money,
training, and fucking 130% of what I'm earning now.
Well done.
So I'm getting a third of what I've got now again on top of it's great and day one benefits.
Nice.
I don't have to wait 90 days.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Yep. So they were like, yeah, you have to sign these forms and bring them back. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a little weird because I'm going to be working overnights.
I actually enjoyed working overnights when I did that.
Yeah, it's apparently not the busiest. So I guess I'm going to have a lot of time for writing and drawing.
Knitting.
And crocheting and video games, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
For more money?
Times are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the stream job?
I mean, not anymore.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and that whole over... Again, my wife would probably not appreciate God. The overnights.
She might.
Yeah, you guys could take opposite shifts.
Look, you mean I don't have to see you?
I mean, there's all that. Just for like 10 minutes of overlap, during which I will want to make love to you. Can we make it 5?
Let's be honest, it's easily. Only going to take 2.
I mean, I got to eat breakfast too, so 1.
It's got dark.
Now I'm just like, that's a weird mental image. Bowl of Fruit Loops going at it. Just
efficient.
Right.
After a few months, it's just walk in. Boop, done. That's all we had time for. Bye.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's business time.
Business hours are over, baby. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. By the way, there's... I'm going to write something down. There's a video I need to show you on break.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else you've been up to?
It's mostly that, going on dates. I'm done with shows and fest and
yeah.
I'm just I did hit the gym to see my trainer after fest in order to correct all of the damage that I've been doing to my body.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Well, the way for us to do that is to completely ruin you."
Oh, that'll be fun.
I like him already.
Yeah, well, you do like him. No, he's your co-host.
I know who that is.
The other fucking podcasts,
which we should be recording a new season. Yay! Starting soon.
Good, nice. good. Yeah, Matty Bubbs has decided to follow his dream. He quit his day job in insurance call center,
and he's getting into podcasting full time.
Oh God!
And he has become a full time personal trainer and therapist. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
And it's he's really good at it. Like, my mobility is dramatically improved.
Well, if hurting people is the only requirement, I would be great at it.
There are specific ways you have to hurt people. Oh. You can't just be so dumb that they hit themselves on the desk. It's not the same.
But you could train.
Dashing my dreams to the floor.
So anyway.
Yeah, that would be better by now. If that was... May he rest in peace.
Indeed. All right. I don't really have much to talk about at all. Like, I had a relaxing weekend and it was great.
Nice.
I packed up the tent. And,
oh yeah, I did that.
And it was raining on Saturday, so I didn't pack up the tent. I just packed up everything that was in the tent, and then I went back on Sunday and packed up the tent.
Yeah.
And
how many times can you say fucking tent in this one paragraph?
I'm pretty tent. I can say a tent more times.
God damn it. Would you say 10 times?
10 times, yes.
Yes, that is what you said.
Tent is my smurf, okay? Tent off, you tenting tent.
Or I'll punch you in the tent.
Whoa, that actually sounds painful.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You will hurt something in a very bad way.
And then we'll give you a tent tickle.
No.
It reminds me of a very bad joke.
I know. Oh, God.
Why can you only ran through the camping site?
Why what?
Why can you only ran through the camping
God damn
site?
It, I know.
Oh, God, I know this. Oh, shit.
Because it's past tense. Yes, my work here is done.
Kyle, that one's for you.
I love it.
That was a conversation I had with my daughter that I have to share real quick.
I don't have anything else to say, so go ahead.
Because then I've got two more things to say. So number one, I had the following conversation with my daughter wherein she told a pun. Mm. And I said, "You've been hanging out with Kyle and James too much." And she says, "I don't really hang out with Kyle." And I was like, "Well, then you've been hanging out with James too much." Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Yeah, it's really kind of weird how he's always there. It's like he's following me or something." And I said, "Yeah, it must be really awkward having him in your shadow all the time."
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she was talking to me at Fest, and she was like, "Why are you in all of the shows I'm in?" I don't know. Stop.
So I was really happy with that.
Yeah.
But the other thing, going back to Eddie Izzard for a second, the other thing that Eddie talked about a lot was trans, because, you know, that's like a thing.
Yeah.
When talking about his life, you want to bring those things up. And there was a section where I maybe teared up a little bit because he was answering people's questions. And one of the questions that came up on the screen, like, I don't know if they were pre-screened or what, or if they were like Twitter, like popping this question up kind of stuff. But one of the questions was, as the parent of a trans child, what can I do to encourage, you know, to be encouraging or be more encouraging and helpful in all of this? And Eddie's first response was, "Well, if you're encouraging, you're already doing it." Hmm. And I was just like, "Oh." And he was like, "Also self-defense." I was just like, "Oh." Because, I mean, that is a very sad reality, is that the most trans people will get attacked. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was listening to him talking about how important it is to be encouraging, and that's just being supportive, just being there is probably the best thing that you can do. And, like, I'm sitting next to my friend, and she's just, like, staring at me, and I'm just like, "Stop it. You're gonna cry. Don't make me cry. This is sad." So, yeah, like, I had that moment. But there were so many other things that he talked about, specifically in relation to trans and comedy. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I totally bought the book afterwards.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, what do you say we take a break and then we can talk to... We can talk to our guest and hear
just the little witty snippets that we've been getting.
Indeed.
We can... Meet the creature behind the wit.
Sorry, I explode with things sometimes.
You're
very welcome to.
Get your raincoats, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. Dude. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. What?
Are we to do that in the... If I ever want to make my partner laugh, if somebody's going down on me, and I'm just going to, freeze up, and if they're like, what's going... are you okay?
And we're back! I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Also known as the Tin Man.
Apparently.
Wow.
And we are back with Lauren.
Hi!
Hi, Lauren.
Welcome to the podcast.
Lauren.
I've had enough wine. We're good.
Yay! We are good and socially lubricated. Lauren is an artist, as we mentioned.
Artist?
We decided on artiste.
Oh, we did decide on artiste? Okay. Yes. Lauren is an artiste. And if any of you have seen any of the Vilification Tennis caricatures.
Yes.
That she we have put face. On many of our
right?
Yes.
And any Jesse of our promotional material. Jesse
uses hers for like her messaging profile thing.
Yeah, right? Nice. No, yeah. Why wouldn't
Lauren is the one who did the artwork for all of those and did an absolutely wonderful job. Took all of our criticisms of like, I don't like, you know, I want this to be this way. And she went, okay. And then did. And they all turned out amazing because she...
I don't think I gave you any criticisms. I know we talked about my eye color.
Yeah.
Which you actually got, which was fantastic. Because I have two different colored eyes. That's you're like, what color are your eyes? I'm like, one's green, one's blue.
But an absolutely fan.
That's the biggest thing I get back is eye color because everyone sends pictures and I'm like, that looks like a brown pixel. I'll put in brown. They'll tell me if it's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just assume people are gonna get my eye color wrong because fuck what?
Mm-hmm. Salsa actually has one blue eye and one green eye.
Okay.
No, he has no idea.
Oh, I'm making my God, this up. James, that's my eye color.
No, I know.
No, don't give Salsa my eyes.
He won't know.
I know he won't know. Don't give Salsa my eyes.
So, he needs that. So Lauren.
Oh, hi.
has a project coming out soon. You should probably tell us about that.
Yes, I'm working on a graphic novel called Unit 418. It's interesting because it's my first sci-fi I've ever written because I've written a lot of fantasies, and I never finished them. So I decided I would like to write something that I would finish, and that was the main goal. I even have it above my desk, finish. So my first fantasy, I'm still writing it 20 years later, called We Were Gods, and I decided I needed to write something that I wasn't fully in that I could actually finish.
Right.
And I'm like, sci-fi, since I don't write it a lot, maybe I won't care about it as much and I'll be more critical of it. Mm-hmm. And I was. I slayed so many babies, which it's a term one of my teachers say. It's to make something good, you must slay your babies. Even if you're really fond of something you have, you have to be okay to kill it for the better of the project. And this one has a mountain of babies.
Mountain of babies.
How many babies does it take
to make a mountain?
I feel
to
like
get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
I feel like
to create a comic book, but sure, whatever.
I feel like that should be on the bottom of every graphic novel. It should be a dead baby meter.
Yes.
Like this graphic novel was 3,287 dead babies. Well, that's a good graphic novel right there.
Yeah.
I think the best way of how about every dead baby is for every page that had to be deleted or discarded, because I went through 13 drafts, and the final is over 400 pages.
Oh, so God.
There's a lot of babies.
Oh God.
Like I said, critical.
The dead baby-o-meter has
it's a good way.
This escalated quickly.
It's all good. That's escalated quickly is exactly what happened with this story.
Do you find yourself bringing those kind of the design of those pages, or if you have just sort of loose, free floating ideas or pages that didn't get used, do you ever resurrect them? Do you ever have like zombie babies?
Oh yeah, I actually do. A lot of times when I was writing this, I decided since my goal was finish, I had to write every day.
Yeah.
So I'd wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh God, I want to get from point A to point B, but I don't know how to get there yet. Oh, I'm going to put in filler. And I'd just write whatever scene it was in my head at the time. Mm-hmm. And not all of them worked. But every once in a while, I get to a point and I go, oh my God, I already wrote this. Some minor adjustments and this will work. And I realized that's the secret to writing a story.
It's just
building as many puzzle pieces as possible. Yeah. No writing is bad writing. Even though I have pages upon pages of stuff that didn't make it in,
right?
They're what sculpted it to what it is right now.
Instead of sitting staring at the page, crafting the perfect thing, it's just
there's no such thing.
Get ideas on the page,
So the entire story is written, beginning to end.
Okay,
whole thing's done. So now I just have to render it in visuals because that was what it was intended
to
be.
And now that you are rendering it in visuals, you're obviously having to go through the entire story again.
I am.
are you sticking to your guns of saying no? The story story is written, or are you finding yourself making edits to the story now that you have to actually draw it?
I'm making edits. Okay. Like, it's I was actually watching the maker of Breaking Bad. I'm forgetting his name. I'm a terrible person. But he actually he wrote the whole story and then changed it as the show went as well, which I think is great, because he wasn't going to do anything with, like, the couple that was trying to give him a bunch of money for helping create that his business until a fan went, "Where are those guys? I want to see those guys." And he's like, "Oh my God, I need to bring these guys back."
Oh, sure.
And so
I feel like there's a difference between that and, like, the fans really like this person.
Yeah.
You should definitely give that person more
for
screen
merchandising
time. Yeah.
Right. Oh, he used it for story. Like, yeah, those guys would be really good right here. And sure. I loved the way they were used.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes people bring up a good point. Like, wait, what happened to the brick? You go,
And
it was in the dog's mouth.
That's why I have beta readers. So I have lots and lots of beta readers, and I love them so much.
So are a lot of those changes coming because you are reading the story again and are going, "Oh, I want things to change," or is it change coming about because the artwork is dictating that there needs to be something different here?
Definitely both.
Okay.
Oh. So it's like, for example, the one I brought for you guys to see.
Which is gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Seriously.
So in that one, it had a different ending than what was written.
Oh.
Which was funny, because I showed all the beta readers, and they're like, "Oh, you changed it again." I'm like, yeah.
Aw.
I have one queen beta reader who has read it since the first draft. Jenna is I love her so much. She's... Oh, really? If you ever need someone to beta read anything, she's amazing. She will read it very fast and give you feedback. Like, good, good, awesome feedback.
Queen beta reader is Queen my new beta. Concept album.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening is, so at the end of this one, what I had originally written, I was like, as I was trying to draw it, I'm like, this doesn't look good drawn. Like, it reads well, but it doesn't look good. So I'm like, okay. I got to make it look good. So one of the best parts about being the author and illustrator is I get to make the story be what it needs to be.
Nice.
Which is something Will Eisner said in his books, because he has several books on how to make graphic novel. And what he said is the perfect person for this is someone who can both write and draw it, because most of the time you're going to get, you know, the divide. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to have to write it and someone's going to have to draw it, because... But if you can get both.
For people like me who may not be familiar with Will Eisner.
He's one of the Disney guys.
Oh,
He made Spirit.
Oh,
He also does, he has so many shorts. There's one where, like, he does, most of the time you don't even have to read what's happening. You don't even have to read the blips. You can just, he's so good at showing you.
Nice.
And he has, I recommend if you get into writing a graphic novel or writing or drawing or both, definitely get his books, because they're really helpful, because he tells you how to do a graphic novel in a graphic novel form. Like, his How to Make a Story has cavemen going, "This is how you write a story." And then you remember it because it's in story form, and the best writer remembers the story.
Yeah, I mean, that's why graphic novels are so good, is because you can picture them very well.
The other thing was I realized through talking to him and also talking to one of my teachers, Thierry LaFontaine, said simple... and Nathan Fox, all of them said simple statement. You need a simple goal for the entire story to go around, and it creates the broad stroke of the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to say it without bringing in anyone specific. Kind of like, what's a good one? The Lego movie actually had a perfect one. Not the Lego movie, the Batman Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's afraid of losing people, and that was the whole theme of that movie. Right. That's the simple statement. And so my simple statement is... even though, like, don't judge a book by its cover. Divisions are caused in this world, but that doesn't mean we have to abide by them, which I feel right now in this culture is really important.
Yeah.
Weirdly timely message.
Well done.
I didn't actually mean that. Actually, it was something really funny because I've been writing. I wrote this all throughout 2016, which is why I was laughing while you guys were like, "Oh, nothing good happened in 2016." I'm like, "Well,
except the wine and art."
Yes, the wine and
so
art.
So the French one,
which is funny because, which the funny Finally. Thing was is because I was writing Unit 418, I predicted the election. Oh. But not in a way that I meant to. It was more of, what's the most terrifying thing I could think would happen?
Now I really need to read it.
And it's more of, this leads up to, if I ever do a sequel, it will be that. And I didn't think it would ever, like, I didn't think that would happen. So that day hit me hard, really, really hard.
Oh, God.
Because I thought I caused it.
Right, I was about to say, did you feel like this was your fault? It's
I not did
your
in fault. A way.
I can tell you whose fault, it is, and it is not your fault.
Did you knock on wood a bunch as you were drawing? Is this?
No, it was more of, I saw it as because of division. I saw like people creating their own bubbles, not wanting to see past who people are. And mine is basically how, like, the start of it. And then once this one's done, there's an outline for the sequel, which will be after, like, this is done and all these bubbles are burst and broken. Due to the climax of this story, what people do after the fact, because all these people are in their bubbles. Some people don't want it to change, because obviously they had it the best. And some people do want it to change, because obviously they had it the worst. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those things of, in 2016, I'm just happy to be writing all these things, going, there's no way this is actually happening. And then crushing
and
blows
then the world
of,
exploded.
Oh, God.
Life imitates art.
It's true. It's true. So
it reminds me of, like, I actually heard about a thing, tangent, about there was, like, an advisory group of, like, science fiction authors where they were asked to come in and come up with, like not, like, fortune-telling, but, like, ideas of how to solve a thing or ideas about whatever. And I can't remember. I think it was this country, like, just talking about, like, but it was because science fiction authors do have that kind of, like, observational looking around at what it is that they're seeing and being able to see the outcome that is possible within that. They had these people come in and just come up with concepts and ideas of how to solve various things. So
that's fascinating.
Well done, is what I'm trying to say. That means you're good at your job, I think.
Well, in order to create a sci-fi, I did realize I had to look at history a lot, so I did do a lot of historical research to make Unit 418.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I'd, without even meaning to, I'd made some, because I studied the, what's it called? Auschwitz for this. And the reason was is because there is like, I used the Holocaust as, like, for a certain part, for certain people that are being treated in this. Once you read it, it may all make sense. But I found out after I wrote it, there's a place called Unit 731, and it was where experimentation was done. Mm-hmm. When I read into it, and I looked at my story, I'm like, oh, crap, they're the same thing. Oh, without God. Even meaning to. It's
right.
I didn't know there was a specific thing. I knew of it. Like, mm-hmm. it happened, sure. But I didn't know I'd actually written it in.
Interesting.
I also researched a lot of the 1920s, 1930s U.S., because that's what it's based off of. Because, have you ever seen the movie Brazil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The good ending?
Yeah. the love conquers all ending.
No, that's the bad ending.
Right. I have very strong feelings about which one is the correct ending.
Yeah, my correct ending is, because the love conquers all was the American, I'm using air quotes, version, because they believed it was not good. But the thing is that the love conquers all actually ruins the entire movie.
Yeah.
It negates everything that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, what Brazil did is they took 1984, the world of it, scooped it out and went, let me put my story in there. And they didn't start from scratch, which I liked. And so I actually absolutely love Fritz Lang's Metropolis.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is,
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
They've recovered new footage in the last decade.
Have they?
Yeah, they showed it.
There's a whole missing chunk.
They showed it at Con.
Yeah.
During steampunk, because it's the original steampunk.
Really, really. Yeah, like an additional 13 to 17 Jesus. Minutes or something.
Like half of it. Yeah. You actually know who the thin man is now.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to look this up.
Yes, you do. It's really good. Yeah. But the thing is what's funny is the story of it, like the world's fantastic, but the story took heavy criticism because it's so simple. I mean, mm-hmm. the main character is sure. Freder Frederson.
I'm down with that.
But what I decided to do is the same thing as Brazil. Is I scooped out the story of Metropolis and took the world and used that as my like building blocks. Mm-hmm. So I have the undercity and the upper city, but I have different reasons for why the undercity mm-hmm. exists. And I can't actually say because it's a spoiler.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
You'll just have to read it.
Oh no! Sorry, I'm all ranty.
No. This is wonderful.
It's available on Netflix.
This is the best possible thing because when people keep talking, it means I have to ask less questions. God damn it!
We're getting into semantics.
I just lost the game. So I am not an artist. I'm a performance artist. I cannot draw. I cannot sculpt or anything like this.
I can't act.
So I do not. I do not have the vocabulary for this. But I'm hoping you do. What is your style?
My style
of art.
Of art?
Yeah.
Vocabulary is nothing when it comes to that, in my opinion.
I've seen your art. You know, I've seen the caricatures you made of us, and I've seen what you've done for this. Unit 4-1.
Unit 418.
418. Okay, and it's gorgeous, but and I've seen similar art styles, but I wouldn't know how to describe
and I've
it
seen
to someone.
Your Pictionary, so. You know.
But I wouldn't know how to describe it to someone. So
that was
and
fun.
Because our listeners do not have the benefit of getting the sneak preview that we just had. What is your art?
I was actually going for a very specific style, so I'm glad you asked. Because the thing is I'm writing a very adult comic, but I'm a fan of Disney as everyone else is, and I wanted to get that almost Disney cuteness but not like go all out Disney. Like it's not the eyes aren't as big and stuff like that. But
they're
just
not anime eyes.
Yeah, they're not anime eyes. It's my version of. I basically told myself if I worked for Disney, what would I create? And I said this, and because I wanted to have this very watercolory Disney type dark story, because I realized that. Anime does this a lot. They have very cute things with very dark stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, as an adult, me and wanting to create basically a fandom, because when you create something, you're creating a fandom for it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to create something that was, like, you could consider it cute. Like, it's, but, and so that's the best way I can say it. Like, I do go heavy on inking, because inking's my favorite thing. But I do more painterly backgrounds. So I basically, whatever is important, I'll keep towards the camera heavily inked.
Isn't that kind of like a Bill Watterson?
Oh, I don't know who that thing? Is.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, I do know who that is. he does do that.
For just a second, my heart was in pain because
I'm
Calvin
also.
Because no offense, but Calvin and Hobbes is the greatest thing ever drawn.
Oh, I believe you. The thing is, I'm also very dyslexic, and it makes me the worst nerd. I've actually got at con. I have so many stories of mixing up names. At one point, someone said, "What the frack?" And I was like, "Oh!" And I didn't say Battlestar Galactica. I went, "That's from Red Dwarf."
Aww.
They're the same thing. And then afterwards, the person like went, "Ugh," and walked away. And I'm like, "Oh crap! I said the wrong thing. What did I do? What did I say?" And being
you do is you go, "I was just trolling," and you strut. That's what you do.
I learned how to do that at Anime Detour when I accidentally called someone Sasuke who wasn't Sasuke, and then I decided to spend the rest of the day calling everyone I saw Sasuke.
Yes.
Hideki.
Everyone got Hideki. So mad. I did not expect that.
Yes.
I didn't think. After a while, I just wanted to see if someone wouldn't get mad.
In later news, kids can't take a joke.
What?
And then finally somebody dressed as Sosuke shows up and you're like, hey Goku, how's it going?
But knowing me, because I'm dyslexic, I'll try to say Goku and say Sasuke. And they'll go, oh, thanks. Shit. It also creates some of the best Easter eggs for my beta readers because of how dyslexic I am. I create some really weird mishaps. Like, my favorite one was, they got into a heated arrangement.
What?
Argument.
I'm in.
It's fun.
That's brilliant.
I have something else. I think heated arrangement is going to be my new concept.
Good.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of dating techniques.
One of the things I also did because it's dark. Like I wanted to bring up, it has humor in it. There's a lot of
good
because you can't, like, there's so many movies where they're, oh, what is it? They'll have some things like The Pianist where it just never lets up. Obviously, because of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense that it never lets up because you're supposed to feel a certain way, but. I think, like, creating this, most things, like what I'm creating, since it's fiction, it's science fiction, dystopia, it needs that cynical funniness.
Sure.
And I have characters, especially the main character, who's in a form where they're not allowed to feel anything human. They're basically not allowed to be human. And the story is these guys figuring out what being human is. And so, how do you explain to someone who is your age what sadness is? Like, what they're going through? Like, to the basic minimum, they don't understand. They've never been taught that that's what that is. And so, like, at one point, I have...
That's fucking awesome.
that's where most of the gags come from.
Deep as shit.
It's where most of the gags come from, because it's all about social norms and how they don't work. If someone hasn't grown up with the social norms.
Someone isn't social and they don't norm.
They don't norm.
Welcome to the podcast.
It makes a really cute romance, by the way.
Oh.
Like, it's... Aww. So it's one of my favorites, because... But one of my favorite parts
dark
of it...
Dark humor. Now, the Venn diagram of what we do and what you do are now colliding right there.
I can't... I am very cynical.
And your circle is a little dirtier for having touched us.
I'll take it.
Well, the taint in tainting.
God damn it.
That word is a theme of my month. Because of Breath of the Wild. Because the taint is everywhere. And so now it's taint. I was just saying, in the break, me and Matt have been playing Breath of the Wild. And by the way, I can't not make fun of this game. It's a beautiful game, and I absolutely love it. Oh, yeah. But the way Matt plays, and the way I make fun of Matt playing, God bless his heart, is I really think we should have a podcast of him playing games and me commentating, because I think it would be hilarious. Because I realized while he was on the ship of the bird, and I'm like, so in order to, you know, solve this puzzle, you have to flip the bird. He's like, shut up, Lauren.
Yes.
What? And
don't ruin this for me.
And so basically he's like, oh crap, there's taint everywhere. I'm like, really? Taint? Shut up, Lauren. So that's where we go. Anyway, so yes, tainted.
Delightful.
People think I'm cute and innocent till they meet me. Or they give me booze.
Have some more.
¿Por qué no los right? dos?
So, this is an observation that I'm making after seeing it and hearing this conversation. There's a lot of contrasts that I, both in the tone of the story being dark and yet having humor, in the artwork of being very, very watercolory and Disney and yet being a very dark story, in the backgrounds being very light and the foregrounds being very heavily inked. It sounds like there's a lot of that contrast that's built into it on many layers, and maybe I'm reading into it more than you planned, but...
That's good. It's where the design needs to feel that way. Like, one of the things I did do, too, is every time you get into a different world, because, you know, they're all divided, and these characters start in their own, basically, worlds, their divided worlds, they'll all have a slightly different style.
Oh.
Because they're all starting in different worlds. And then once they all meet, the style slowly becomes slowly becomes like full. And one of my reasons for doing that is this is my first graphic novel. And whenever I read webcomics, I watch, like, I love watching them grow. Like, they grow in style.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm probably going to grow in style. How can I account for that, but also make it part of the story?
Oh, my God. That's fucking brilliant.
That is pretty amazing.
Holy shit.
That's...
Because it's going to change no matter what I do since I'm making it. So I decided at the end it will be characters all coming together and the style conforming to itself and becoming a different thing. The other thing I got from that was, have you ever seen, I haven't read it fully, so I'm sorry, but it's one of Harley Quinn's. And they never explain it. They just expect you to understand it, and you do, because they do it so well. Whenever Harley Quinn's in her own mind, in her crazy mind, everything's cartoony. Whenever we're not in her mind, everything's Gotham Art Deco, style. So you realize, after a while, you realize, oh, this is her point of view. This is how she sees the world. She doesn't know she's doing all this stuff. I got an idea from that and went, oh my gosh, I have two worlds I can do that in. Because the way this is, it's a sci-fi dystopia and it gets very tech heavy, which you wouldn't think in the first issue because the first issue focuses on outside of the city where everything or tech has been like kept away from everybody.
Right.
So you actually get into a virtual world. So I also have to set up a very strong way of how I'm telling the story. So everything has to be like all the panels have to be a certain way and the discipline has to be a certain way. So as soon as we get to what I call the void, suddenly it's almost like your floor. I want basically the story by the time I get there, I want like your feet to suddenly have no floor. Suddenly all the panels are gone and the style changes, but it's still the same story because you're like, holy crap, this isn't a world that should exist. So that's where I want to get by, I think, chapter 4, which, if all plans go well, I'll get there in a year and a half.
I really appreciate when artists are able to use the medium and to sort of abuse the expectation of the medium in order to communicate additional information. Yeah. Again, going back to Bill Watterson, that was a major thing that he did, but then also you see it in, like, Deadpool and She-Hulk and other things like that. Even if they're not breaking the fourth wall, where you can use that to help tell the story, it's fucking awesome.
There's another comic that I've been reading that does that quite a bit. It's called Stand Still, Stay Silent. It's by another girl who writes a webcomic, and she completely wrote it and is creating it on her own. And she updates 4 times a week because she's a machine. She's amazing, too. I've already read it about 7 times because I absolutely love it. I recommend it. It's by Mina, I think it's an S. I'm going to have to look it up. But
what's it called again?
Stand Still, Stay Silent. It's a post-apocalyptic Norwegian story about trolls.
SSSS Comics.
Yes.
SSSS Comic. .com.
Yes, it's
with a K.
Updates Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Holy yep.
Fuck.
Her fan base is delightful
Stand
too.
Stand still, stay silent.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
SSSScomic.com.
It's a slow Holy build
shit.
Too.
It is. It's quite.
I can't. God, I hate it that the boys are on the other side.
It's got this like.
Have you smelled us? You don't want us over there.
Okay, but I do want to see.
It's got this kind of like. Van Gogh, like
yeah, her art is gorgeous.
Art that
are you kidding?
She's very Your actually. Art is gorgeous. She's a she does a very print watercolor style, yeah. So it looks like it's printed, like silk screens.
Yeah, yeah.
But she has a very sketchy style that just blows your
Sundberg.
Mind. Yeah, yeah. Her stuff's really good. Mm. Trust me, once you go through it, and it's a slow build, like Patrick Rothfuss. Where it's like you're slowly eased into the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I love stories like that because, well, mine hits you with a brick. But hers, you're slowly immersed. So when you leave the story, you're still in it. Like your brain's still in her world.
Sure.
Which is what Patrick Rothfuss
really
does all the time.
I really appreciate books that can do that. Where, like, I found myself, I was reading Tad Williams, and I found myself worrying about what was going on with the characters, and I had not had the opportunity to pick
like
up
Otherworld or
Otherland, yeah. And Otherland, I was like, sorry. Oh, what? I wonder, what are they gonna do? What is there? I wonder if I can. And I was like, You just read the rest of the fucking book. Just sit down and read the rest. Yeah. No. I'm good. Yeah.
I honestly kind of prefer the other style, what you're describing, the kind of you just drop you into the middle of the action and say go. Because I kind of appreciate the not being handheld into it a little bit. It's just like the world has been going on. Stuff has been happening. You need to keep up. And we're just going to start.
I do that one, because you can only do one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did choose to just drop you in.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Laura.
And we somehow had the recording stop on us. And we were chatting away for a good 15
minutes. We figured out the meaning of life.
It was good.
Just assume that we're the smartest people ever.
We just solved cancer.
We discussed our favorite webcomics, and I made a fantastic Star Wars joke, and it's all gone.
It was offensive.
She's backing me up on this one, so fuck you.
All right.
The delivery was pretty good.
Content was shit, but the delivery was fantastic.
We were discussing our favorite Disney movies, and he said Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Or New Hope, sorry.
No,
which
I
one Return was it?
Return of the Jedi? Right.
Okay.
And what we're trying to say is sometimes these are just for us. intentionally or non.
When a mommy stop button and a daddy elbow love each other very much.
Some of this conversation was really, really good, and you're just going to have to imagine a great conversation and then double it to get to what that was.
I'm pretty sure that's what they do when they listen to us. It's just imagine a better conversation than having.
The one thing I really did want to hit, though, is, Lauren, where can we find your art?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So far I've got a website that will be coming up hopefully by the end of this month. The art's being created, the web developer's hard at work on baking it, because I don't do web development, she does. But you can find my art on my Facebook page, which is Laddie at Facebook. I bet if you search for my name.
Nice.
I try to use Laddie where I can. Some people already take it, but if I can, because I'm Irish... And my initial spell, Laddie, is just too perfect. And
with a Y or an IE?
A Y.
Okay.
Yeah. And then...
Because we like you.
We will be posting this on the show notes as well, but for those listening.
The other place is I'm also on Tumblr and Instagram. On Tumblr and Instagram as Addyvin. It's either Laddyvin or Addyvin, because I use Addyvin whenever I can't use Laddie. Whoever is using Laddie, you make me sad.
Aww.
Aww. Stop doing that!
Don't make one sad.
And we had mentioned that because we got into a discussion about Disney films, we had gotten into a discussion about Atlantis.
Yeah, and Don Bluth.
And Don Bluth films, and that your style is, for me, very weirdly reminiscent of Atlantis. There is a clear difference between them, but
I'm influenced.
It reminds me.
Yeah. Influence is something. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Like, you can tell when people are influenced. Like, what is it? Great artists don't... Oh, is it? I'm gonna mess it up now. Was it...
Uh-oh.
The good...
Great artists don't steal, they borrow?
It's either that or the other way. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I messed that up.
Oh, okay. Here you go. So for your Facebook, it's Laddie, but it's at Laddie Vin.
Yeah.
What's the Vin, if I may?
Vin is one of my favorite characters ever created by Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
Vin is from Mistborn. Okay. She was the... Have you ever read Mistborn?
No.
Oh, but
I'm
not, good.
But I'm going to now.
Yeah. It's a trilogy, and it's really okay. good. Hmm. He All is right. a really good at endings.
So facebook.com/LADDYVIN, and we will be posting that on show notes, like I said.
Oh, Addy Vin.
AddyVin@.tumblr.com.
Yep, and I'm also AddyVin on Instagram. I think I post there the most, just because it's the easiest.
Okay. Sure.
But soon.
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 Sorry, we were saying.
Yeah.
I was going to...
about...
One of the things I wanted to say about Disney is I did have one favorite that wasn't a movie, that was a show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Gravity Falls by Alex Hirsch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nope.
I got introduced to that in the weirdest possible way.
In the middle
of sex?
That
comes in the story.
Not exactly.
I was...
At the end of sex?
No.
As in climax of sex?
As foreplay.
No. Okay, what were you going to say about this show?
I got caught up in that.
It's very easy to do so, which is why I headed us off at that.
Head them off at the pass!
With the words.
It's two seasons long.
Saying,
it's by Alex Hirsch. Literally, Disney went up to...
Gravity Falls.
Yeah, Disney went up to Alex and went, pitch us a story! He went, no, I don't write for children. Huh. Oh, but pitch us a story! No, I don't write for children. Oh, come on, pitch us a story. Okay, fine, but if you do it, I do it my way. And had it in writing.
That sounds like what they did with Zim.
Yeah, I was going to say Zim, yeah.
Only Invader Zim, it's either Johan or... Yeah, he couldn't kill anyone, and you could tell it ate him up inside.
Especially after Johnny.
Oh, especially Higgins! He wanted to kill that kid so bad. Yeah. But anyway, Gravity Falls, it's only two seasons long. Because it's only ever supposed to be two seasons. Because
I
it's about
that.
It's about
an
two
amount.
Yeah, it's about a set of twins who visit their great uncle Stan in the woods for a summer vacation, and it's just the summer.
Oh.
Because summer ends and kids grow up, which is part of the story.
Oh.
And as I'm watching this, there are so many times I looked over at Matt and went, "This is for kids?" It's a really well done story, and the rewatchability of that story is intense.
Wow.
It's really well done.
I was recently reminded of a live action Disney TV show. It was The 100 Lives of, like, Black Jack Silver or something like that.
I've never heard of this one.
If only there were a series of tubes.
Yeah,
oh, are we doing this thing? All right.
It's turned into a YouTube show.
Blackjack Savage. The 100 Lives of Blackjack Savage. It was a TV show that was quickly canceled. I don't think it even lasted an entire season. But basically the premise is there is a pirate back in
pirate times
named Blackjack Savage, and he's a ruthless killer, and he is caught and he is hung.
Sounds like a great Disney show.
Maybe
no. That is the first
phrase.
That is the first 5 minutes.
Oh my god.
Then we jump to modern day. Okay, and there is this rich asshole of a businessman in New York who is basically actually, I think I read something recently that he was basically modeled on Donald Trump. He is defrauding people, and he's just making people's lives miserable, and he is arrested for white collar crime, and so he escapes to a Caribbean island. And he moves into this house where the ghost of Black Jack Savage lives, and now this modern businessman has to redeem himself. And the ghost of Black Jack Savage can't move on until he has rescued 100 people. Oh. And so now the two of them have to team up to rescue people. But Black Jack Savage cannot leave the house, or he is attacked by these creatures which drag him to hell.
Ooh.
This is Disney? Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this sounds awesome.
And I watched this as a kid.
Reminds me of Candle Cove.
But it was, I loved it when I was a kid, but it was this kind of very dark Disney
show. Every once in a while, Disney has these little gems. Like, they had so weird for a while, but
The computer wore tennis shoes and the gnome named Gnorm. Like, these were great Disney show movies that were just like TV movies.
I have never heard of that. I heard of 13th Year because when I was a kid, I watched that over and over and over again. Because it was on at just the right time.
Yeah.
Oh, Disney, you keep making some wins, but then you keep filling everything else up with shit.
I know, right?
Oh.
So that is so we've talked about your Facebook and your other things. Where is this? Where are we going to find your artwork? Where will that be dropping?
Or the webcomic?
Yeah.
The webcomic will be on unit418.com.
Unit418.com.
Yep. Right now there is a unit418.com like slot. Like if you look it up, mm-hmm. there is a coming soon.
It's a holding pattern.
Yeah. Okay. So it's basically I wanted to give people a place of, hey, look, you can bookmark this.
Bookmark this.
Yeah. So it's a way to bookmark it. And I've got my art on. Well, I've got two pieces on there.
Okay.
So
let us know when things drop and we will let our listeners know. And also let us know because I want to read the shit out of that because looks beautiful and I really, 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 I have a tremendous Woody to read it. is really what I'm saying.
Well, then you'll really like the three sex scenes that are in it.
Yay!
One of them...
was not expecting that, but I'll take it.
Two of them are kind of shown and one of them are teenagers, so I imply it. I don't go down that rabbit hole.
No, that's smart.
We don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Nope.
Plus, it keeps it cuter.
Right. Hey, everybody.
Hey, yeah.
How about a fast five?
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Fast five.
For those of you who do not know how a fast five works, I have been
who's fast five?
Let's start that over. For those of you who do not know what a fast five is, what we do is we have two emails from you, the dear listener, and what we do is we open the first email, which has five A or B choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We just know what those choices are. And we have to go through all five of them and decide which one we like best and guess what the context might be. And then we open the second email and then we find out what the actual context was and whether we regret everything. The answer is we always do.
Yeah, basically.
It is kind of a microcosm for life, isn't it?
Oh, God.
And we, by the way, thank you so very much. We did have a lot of new
Yes, thank you to everybody who sent more in.
Yeah.
A huge amount from the Mrs.
No peeking, James. No peeking.
Not, like... Peeking. I'm looking at the names.
Yeah.
Peeking.
Oh, sorry.
God.
I feel like we peaked long ago.
I don't know that we've ever peaked.
But this week's,
I don't know that we're going to.
But this week's comes to us from somebody I don't believe has ever written. If you have,
what?
I've forgotten. But this week comes to us from Drew Zestera.
Yay! Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I love the Zesteras.
I don't know that we have gotten one from Drew.
I don't think so.
Huh.
So, here we go.
Hey, thank you, Drew.
Yeah.
So, Drew has, he says, enjoy.
Nice.
Question number one. Good scotch or shitty beer?
Good scotch.
Good scotch.
For most things, it's going to be good scotch.
The
question is, what kind of fan is Drew?
What kind of context could this be?
It might be like which one has better commercials.
It might be hard for me.
Or better advertisements in a
scotch is hard for me, but I hate shitty beer with a passion.
Shitty beer is just like
I have a joke about shitty beer.
Having sex in a boat?
Yep.
That's the joke.
Like after I got out of high school, I realized that drinking shitty beer just wasn't worth it.
I'm going to say good scotch.
Episode, yeah.
Did I? Yeah. I was drinking.
No matter what,
but
it
not shitty beer.
It'd have to be good scotch.
Good scotch.
It reminds me of the Natty Ice game.
Sure.
two of the team leads at a place where I used to work, they all had lived together at one point, and with I guess some of the other team leads, and they would hide cans of natural ice, which is one of the fucking worst beers you can have. Ever.
It's not as bad as Beer 30 Ice, but close.
Oh. So, Natty Ice is real bad. And they would hide cans, which are tall cans, in the dryer under glasses, like under or under mugs and things like that.
And if you one, you find have to it, drink it.
You have to drink it. And
that's kind of a great
game. It is kind of a great game, but it's also it's a sad game.
No, it's a terrible game, and
but
I
it's kind of awesome.
I wish I had a roommate instead of a wife, because my wife would not play this game.
She's still a roommate.
My wife will not play this game.
No, 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 no.
She will no.
Yeah, no, but. Yeah. And having played this game myself at LAN parties, oh, fuck. Yeah, I was going to drive everybody to breakfast, and then I went to put one of my boots on, and it clunked.
Oh, no.
And I went,
oh.
Who can drive stick?
All right, so are we all going good scotch, or?
It's going to be good scotch for most of the context.
No, nobody's hedging their bets and going.
I just remembered I'm supposed to tell you guys the Popeye story after this.
What would you get for somebody else?
Ooh,
good scotch.
You'd still get good scotch.
And that would still be good scotch.
It's going to be filling a bathtub.
Oh, here's the twist. Question number two: shitty scotch or good brew?
Good brew.
Shitty
scotch. I don't like beer.
I know you don't.
Good beer.
Good beer.
Tell us the Popeye story.
Oh, the Popeye story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, me and my boyfriend decided to go on a road trip to visit a tank museum, and it was on our way to the Dells, so we decided we gotta go to this tank museum.
There's a tank museum on the way to the Dells?
I'm still digesting.
It's in Chicago, I think. I have to ask him. But
that's not on the way to the Dells.
Yeah.
There's
depends on.
Maybe it's in Wisconsin. No, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah,
sorry.
Chicago,
I thought of something
Wisconsin.
Else in Chicago. Yeah. We were on our way to the Dells of Wisconsin. It's between Wisconsin here is.
There's a tank museum?
There's a tank museum.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is.
Chicago, Wisconsin.
In the back of this tank museum is the basically graveyard of helicopters, tanks, and engines.
Oh,
I should have tons of pictures up for reference.
Is it the Russell Military Museum?
It might be.
In Lake County. That's Lake County, Illinois. No, that's not. What?
It might be. It actually might be that, because I think it's.
That's
in
not between us.
No. Wisconsin, Illinois. That's.
Anyway,
we'll talk about this later.
Anyway, this is beside the point of Popeyes. So on our way to going to the tank museum.
Fucking damn.
Yeah, she belongs on this podcast, doesn't she?
On our way to going to the Dells and this tank museum, we pass a Popeyes. And I go, oh man, Popeyes is really good. I remember it. And Bryce in the car goes, yeah, I remember Popeyes being pretty tasty. And Matt goes, I've never been. Let's go to Popeyes. And we're like, yeah, let's go to Popeyes. And they were like, yeah, but we just started driving and we have 4 hours to drive. Not right now. Let's
get some Cajun shrimp.
And he's like, oh, okay, fine. We'll go to the next Popeyes. And we keep driving. Oh. He's like, there's a Popeyes right there. Uh-huh. And we're like, no, we're still driving. And then finally we get in and he's like, there's not another Popeyes for like hours of here. And we're like, oh, well, don't worry. We'll get one on the way back. Okay, we have our vacation, and then we're on our way back, and he's like, there's a Popeyes right there. And his sister goes, no, I want pasta. And he's like, but Popeyes. He's like, we're like, no, we're going to this. So we get pasta instead. And he's like, Popeyes. He's like, I don't know what it tastes like, but I need to know now. And so then we drive back, and as we're on our way, he's like, okay, the first Popeyes I said, let's go eat Popeyes at is right there. We're eating Popeyes. We're like, okay, we're going to stop for Popeyes. So we stop for Popeyes, and this is where the story gets even more fun.
God damn it, it's already really good.
So we go in. And so we go in, and they're like, okay. We're like, okay, we got this. We're finally in. He's like, oh, you know, it'd be really funny, Lori. I'm like, what? As we're waiting in line, he goes, it'd be really funny if we get up there and they're out a lot of chicken. We get up there, and she goes, what? Oh, hey there. Sorry, but he's like, and you could see it on his face. We all out of chicken. And she said it just like that. She's like, but if you want chicken, it'll just be a little while. And he goes, I'll wait. And so we decided to wait. And so we're sitting there, we're waiting. And we're waiting quite a while, and finally this one guy comes up, and he goes, you've been waiting for your chicken? We're like, yeah, we're still waiting. He's like, I've been waiting for 20 minutes. We're like, oh. And this lady comes out, presumably out of nowhere, because she's this tiny little round lady with no front teeth, And she just shows up out of nowhere, and she goes, "Hey, y'all waiting for the chicken?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, I've been here. How long is it going to be?" "It's going to be a while." "Okay, how long is a while?" "A while." Oh, and then she disappears into the back, and I'm like, this is amazing. "It's going to be a while, Matt."
"How long were they there?" "Forever."
"For a while."
"For a while."
"Forever."
And then so she comes back with our chicken. We're like, "Oh, thank God." And so we get it, and he's like, "Oh, I finally got Popeye's chicken." And we go out to our friends who didn't come in with us because they're like, "We've already eaten. We don't want any." And they're like,
"Shit.
Did you decide to eat in there?" We're like, "No, but we have the best story." And since then, the Popeye's joke has gotten even more because every time we went into Popeye's, a new story happened.
Oh,
and
my God.
I don't know why. No. We found one in Hong Kong.
Oh.
There's a Popeye's in Hong Kong.
Huh.
That's delightful.
So, So we have many stories of Popeye's. I think of one where Matt was sick, and he's like, "But I really want Popeye's because I'm addicted now." So I went in, and I was alone. And I get a message from him. He's like, "It's been 45 minutes. Are you okay?" "I'm okay, but I got a story for you when I get home."
Shit.
And it was because we got up there. And so the entire line was stopped, and no one could order because this one guy in the back of the store and everyone behind the counter, everyone, had decided to get into an argument, and it was like vilification tennis back and forth. And it,
oh my God.
Except not as awesome.
Right.
Wait, I'm not a part of it anymore.
Literally, this guy just went, "I wanted a po' boy with fish and shrimp. You only get po' boy with fish or shrimp." No. And it kept going back and forth. And I'm like, this is amazing. God. I'm so happy I'm here.
Nice.
And this happened, like, and then eventually, like, Popeye's doesn't do this anymore every time we go in. And we're like, oh, we actually got good service. But for a while, there wasn't. And now there's actually good service at Popeye's. But those are my Popeye stories.
Yay!
Jesus.
That's fantastic.
Oh, and their sweet heat is the best sauce.
Mm. Well,
anyway, sorry. Good, you just told me I had to save the story for this. So I
think we've learned something today
about ourselves. And
Lauren, never follow children or animals or a Popeye story.
That's fucking fair.
So what is question number three?
What did we all say? Good brew or shitty scotch?
I said first one. Yeah. I said good scotch.
Yeah,
first
but the second one. Scotch.
Second one, I said good brew.
Good brew.
Good brew.
Good brew.
Shitty scotch.
Good brew. All right. Question number three: free or stolen?
Free.
Ooh.
No, stolen tastes better.
Oh shit!
Stolen
context
tastes
matters
stolen
so much.
Stolen would make me so like even if I.
No, the guilt would make you feel awful. The guilt, I would be. Though this tastes so much more sweet.
No, like I would have a hangover from the guilt.
No, the stolen fruit tastes so much more sweet.
I'd say free because I'm agreeing with the guilt.
I would put stolen in quotes and go with stolen.
Yeah.
You know
free
what I mean?
Is gonna be
like that thing that you do where you're like, when your drink arrives, I'm going to steal some of it. I'm like, you can have some of it. And you're like,
No.
That's not how this
that's
works.
That's not how it works. I'm going to steal some of it. You can't give permission. So I would put stolen in quotes and go with stolen.
This is, by the way, not stolen, which is that German bread with the berries and nuts
in
it.
No, I don't.
Ooh. Haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite good. Question number four. High or low?
Mm.
I'm going with Barry White Low.
I've never heard of Miller Low Life.
I have to see what happens with high.
Barry White Low.
You don't have to say low life. It just is.
That is a pretty good sketch, though.
Really? Hmm. Oh, God, high or low?
For when you're drinking alone, Miller Low Life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The beer of champagnes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. it's real sad.
Write that for next lab.
That's real sad.
God, I can't even think of a good context for this. I guess,
Hi. What's your answer?
You're going high.
Uh-huh.
You're going...
I feel like We should like reiterate right before we learn what it's going to be.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah, good. James, what was your?
I'm going to go low.
Low. Okay, I'm going low. Question number 5. Yes or no? I'm going with a hell yes.
Have we ever gotten a yes or no?
I don't think we ever have.
No, that's real weird.
Yeah.
And I'm going hell yes.
I'm so indecisive. I want to go maybe, and I know it's not a choice.
I'm going to say I usually yes and. So I'm going to say yes.
Hell yes.
I'm bad at improv, so I'm going to say no.
Oh.
I'm going to say yes because I want to say maybe, which usually means 80% yes.
Okay.
There you go. Good answer.
A million times right. I've asked you, and then I've asked you over again. You only answer perhaps.
Okay. Here are the Fast Five questions and answers. And Drew says, I want to preface this with, this has been sitting on my desk since before Matt retired. And it sounds like you might need one before you start making shit up. So there.
Nice.
All right.
P.S. I hope to have an excellent beverage for each of you next time we meet. So yay! Maybe aww. The end of the year? ? And the answer to that is I will make time if it means hell tasty yeah. beverage.
Free or stolen?
if you bring stolen, too, that would be awesome.
Okay, nice. Do that. Drew, you're in charge.
I mean, if we have to have you on the podcast to do that.
I
know a guy. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Question number 1. Good scotch or shitty beer?
Good scotch.
What would you have rather fed to Matt?
Oh, I don't know. Who's Matt?
Matt is the...
He's the previous host.
Yeah.
Previous host before James started. Yeah. James started only a couple months ago. Three months ago?
Have we not been keeping track?
It was during Fringe.
Damn it.
It was around,
yeah, it was.
It was during Fringe
Festival. I thought
Festival.
It was just before Fringe.
Yeah, so it'd be August.
Matt, Alex, and I started this podcast originally, what, back 7 years ago or something like that?
About there.
And then we realized that we really needed somebody with talent on it, and so we got Jenna to join us.
Because that was the closest thing they could
what,
find.
What, a year?
It was a year in.
Year in?
My first one was 53.
It was our 1 year anniversary that we basically added Jenna to the podcast. So we've been going for a long time, and then Matt basically got...
There are a lot of hints of nut.
Matt discovered that he was too good for us, and he retired, and we invited James on. So that's who Matt is. You have also done artwork for Matt for Vilification Tennis.
I probably have seen his face.
You've probably drawn his face.
Almost all of the... I've seen, I think, all of them. But I think my favorite might be Matt's.
Oh, gosh, which one is he now?
I'll bring it up.
Sorry. I really like mine.
He's got
a
neck tattoo.
That guy.
That one!
Yep.
Well, he's the only one with a tattoo
there
I had to draw.
We go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he only went from the neck up and... Who the fuck has
all bus
tattoo from the neck up?
Which one would you rather feed to Matt? I would feed him the shitty beer because he's okay with that, and that
right.
way I can keep.
And then
that
I get the good scotch.
That is true. Yeah. You actually told me a story about shitty beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you remember it? Are you about to regale us with this?
No, it was just I was talking to Salsa about beer, and he said, Matt would always say, I want beer, so even if it's shitty beer, it's still beer.
Right. And yeah, we were talking about this last week.
Yeah. It was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Gives me a sad...
Anyway, yeah, he gets good the shitty beer because I get the good scotch.
Yep. Question number 2, shitty scotch or good brew, which would you expect to get from Matt?
Oh,
I
would expect to get good brew from him.
Yeah, I absolutely would.
I personally, as Jenna, also, would expect to get...
Well, it says brew, not beer.
Are there bad brews?
So it might be good coffee.
Minnesota's pretty good for brews.
There are absolutely bad brews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota.
Beer light. Beer 30 light is a bad
I still
brew.
Think I'm more likely to get is. A shitty scotch from him. Because I just don't think he'd think to give me a brew of pretty much any type, except for maybe coffee.
So the other day, I realized Indeed Mexican honey. Way more alcoholic than I had originally thought. That was good, an interesting barbecue.
Excellent. what do we got?
Yep.
Salsa? Next. Where did you go?
Question number three. Free or stolen, what kind of booze / brew is better?
Yeah, stolen in quotes.
Well,
free. If we're going stolen, as in we're hanging out in the campground at the Renaissance Festival and somebody goes up to go to the bathroom and you grab their bottle and you chug it, and then when they come back...
Oh my god.
That is the best.
Yeah.
What?
Not all of it.
The guilt adds the flavor.
Just a couple inches.
Fuck,
just
man.
Just a couple inches.
Yeah, no, I just do the thing where I'm like, I'm stealing your whiskey, and then I drink some of the whiskey. Yeah. Like,
that's like if you offer somebody a bite of cake and they take the cherry off the fucking top. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
There are rules, man.
Apparently. The rules are what add flavor when you break them.
It's like, do you want some pizza? Yeah. And they eat everything but the crust and hand it to you.
No, they eat everything but the little table. The crust is the
best part. I only eat the crust.
Oh, the G.I. Joe table.
Yeah. Oh, that was a Barbie table. Thank you very much.
Did anyone else fight over the table from their siblings? Because I know me and my sister fought over that frickin' table.
No, I just took it.
No,
them.
My sister just beat me up.
Yeah, I didn't beat Steve up. I just took it. I was like, this is my now.
I grew up where there was no pizza delivery to fight my kids over.
When dinosaurs roamed.
Yes. No, it's not. Everything was. It's not because it was a long time ago, but it was in a galaxy far, far away. And by that, I mean farming country in South Dakota.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, the look on Salsa's face.
Awesome doesn't always mean good.
Like I said, we have to find out. Question number four.
High or low?
Oh.
Where do you prefer your scotch comes from?
Oh.
Good question.
That's a good one.
Lower is peatier, right? In general?
I believe so, yeah.
The Ely is generally low.
I'm thinking low then.
I like it.
You like it more peaty?
Everybody is surprised by this. I've repeated it 18 times.
I wasn't surprised. Yeah. I was asking.
Yeah, and you asked this like two saltier. Weeks ago.
That's
too.
Because I don't remember people's preferences for things. That would require me remembering anything.
I know.
I don't remember my own kids' birthdays, for fuck's sake.
I need to drink more scotch to know what mine is.
There you go. Nice. Oh. Good answer. Good answer.
I'd like to make a recommendation
of one of the scotches that they have here.
Is it peaty?
Can I pour you a dram?
Yeah. Would you like some scotch?
Just a touch.
If I didn't have an interview tomorrow, I would.
Just a taste.
A wafer thin mint.
Try simple
rice. I think I've got to go lowland. I'm going to go low. James?
I am also.
You're low?
We're all going
James
low.
James is low. You're low?
I haven't had enough to know.
Okay. Let me ask then. Do you prefer scotches that are kind of like more earthy, peaty kind of things? Or do you prefer a scotch where you just kind of put it on your tongue and it evaporates?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I've had like two scotches.
Mm.
Wow. I don't remember what they were.
That really isn't enough.
I don't drink a lot of hard liquor because hard liquor like goes straight to my head. So I'm a beer and wine drinker mostly.
That's fair. Uh-oh.
Oh, yep. Yeah. All right.
Oh, there's things going on.
What's that? Oh, God, the commotion.
That is a shot glass.
Uh-huh.
Where did you get that shot glass?
I got that shot glass. That shot glass was given to me by Gwyn Lazarczyk, who is the leader of Sigony.
Just a snort.
Yep. As a thank you for helping out like and booze. / joining Weird. Sigony this year.
I mean, we all in Sigony got
this one
them.
Where you don't
it wasn't just you, but yeah,
swallow,
so it makes you a part of the collective.
I am one of us.
Really? One of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
You guys are going to see
the face I make whenever I have hard liquor.
Woohoo!
Which is
awesome. Yeah, scotch face.
The
scotch
cringy face.
And that is what, I like, it's mandatory when you drink scotch, so.
That's smoother than I expected.
Yeah.
I'm going to call this, it makes me smell like I'm in a horse farm.
Very earthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was telling somebody earlier today that the Taco Bell I had the prior day made my farts smell like a sad pet store in a closed mall.
Yeah, I've been to that pet store.
Question number five.
Yes or no? Oh, shit. I said no. What was it?
You were correct.
Excellent.
Yes or no? Does anyone even miss Matt? And the question is no.
I said...
Oh, Matt's calling right now.
I'm pretty sure I said yes.
I said yes. I think I've only met him once, though.
Yeah, no.
And it was at con where I'm like, I know your face! And I said that very drunk.
Through it.
I think I did that to Tim Wick, too, because it was... He had never met me.
Right.
I was very drunk at con. I went right up to him and went, I drew your face! And he goes, thank you! And I walked away. I think I've done that to more of you guys than I would probably care to admit.
Right. No, that's
You guys
fair.
Are all at con.
Yeah. So, it's also had to step out for a moment. James is... refilling the fart cabinet.
Oh man, you brought up your birthday and that made me think of something.
Oh yeah,
so
go for it.
My birthday.
Your birthday.
Let me guess. I'm gonna make you guess when it is based on this. So everyone goes to it, even people I don't know, and they all dress up.
4th of July.
Close. Con.
That's
yeah, it's close because that's one of the best parts. I hate my birthday being known or being celebrated or being the center of attention at all.
Right.
So I go there and it feels like my birthday is being celebrated, but nobody knows it's my birthday.
Oh my God. It's like a reverse surprise party.
Now everyone who listens to this podcast will know.
And we do have a lot of con people.
By the way, if you ever wish me happy birthday, do it quietly and never start singing ever. Yeah.
So
I have a story about that too, where I ran screaming from the dealer's room as everyone sang happy birthday to nobody who was in the room because I ran screaming from it.
So the couple whose ceremony I performed this last weekend, for whatever reason, they bought a cake topper for the wedding pies.
Okay.
And so the first one that they cut into, they just had a topper on it that said shit just got real. And because it's funny,
ridiculous,
and, right? Yeah, because they're ridiculous, and it's good. And so they were like, "I feel like we should be, I don't know, like singing or something like that." And so I started a round of "Happy Wedding to You."
Oh,
happy,
that's right? fantastic!
And then it ended, and I said, "All right, first motherfucker to say and many more gets thrown the fuck out."
Would have been me.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All right. So is that it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to make a mention.
Yeah.
Of a certain sponsor.
Yes,
we do.
Because we didn't
make it so.
Is it the coffee that?
It is.
It is in fact the coffee.
It is the magical
coffee.
All right.
So, are we excited? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you've heard us talk about this before, repeatedly.
There's a reason.
Every week, even, and we don't do it just because they're our sponsor. In fact,
no, not at all.
We allow the privilege of sponsoring us. Because they are that goddamn motherfucking good. We are, of course, talking about True Stone Coffee. They roast their beans fresh. They deliver right to your door the day or day after, depending on what time things get done. And you get your name on the little package, which is just
it's true.
Fun.
Yeah, there's something nice about it.
Yeah. I love that they roast very specifically to the country. The roast matches what's going on with the bean.
And they test. They do extensive testing and tasting to make sure that they are getting the perfect roast for any particular bean.
Yep. So, if you've been listening and been thinking, I'll get around to it. The time is now.
The time is now.
The time is now.
Long live the HUD.
No. We're just ordering coffee.
Long live the HUD.
Long live the caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So if you would like to order some True Stone, and you know you want to, go to truestonecoffee.com, enter the promo code Apropos.
But it's spelled apropos.
I was really hoping I could get one of you guys to say it. Enter the promo code APROPOS for 10% off of your coffee order. Mm-hmm. Again, they don't just have coffee, although that is quite enough. They have merchandise. They have these gorgeous tulip glasses. They have the cold press. Get a little bit of everything. Enjoy it. Drink it. Love it.
Yes.
True Stone Coffee.
True Stone.
Put it in you.
Yes. Oh, God, that's the hottest thing. And never mind.
No, unless it's sure cold press.
Pretty yeah. sure I yeah. don't have blood anymore. I just have coffee in my veins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is going to be injected.
you're just going to like melt the vein and it'll go straight into you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm. In school, we had to make like a coffee shop. Oh, in school we had to make a coffee shop, so I made the espresso IV, and I literally made a graphic like, you know, character for it.
Yeah,
and they're just like, and that yes. was.
She is tapping her arm right now. By the way,
druggy,
gotta get it in.
Tapping the vein. Yeah,
phrasing.
I had a date like that once.
Did we, by the way, do the whole?
We did all fast the five Fast Five. We did the True Stone.
We have not.
By the way, if you want to submit a Fast Five, uh-huh. please submit a Fast Five to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Submit two emails, one of which holds the A or B choices, and the other one which holds the A or B choices and the context therein, and label them something similar so we can find them, please. If you have never sent one in before, we will put yours at the top of the list. If you send us a physical copy somehow, A, good for you, and B, those go to the top of the list as well.
Indeed.
Please.
Also, I need more scratch paper.
Oh, yes.
For yeah. physical copies.
James has been using the physical copy yeah, scratch yes, paper I, yes, I for a while yeah. now. Okay, so that is that. We have done True Stone. Is there anything else? Lauren, reiterate to all of the people who are not good at remembering things, all of your everything.
Oh, God, everything? Well, I was born in 1985. Sorry.
Wait, what year were you born in?
1985.
Okay, that's better than what I thought you said 1989, and I was like,
That's my sister's a year before that.
Bullshit.
Okay. Oh, that just actually reminds me of another story, which I'll tell you later. Anyway, okay. Well, my story is, I do a comic book graphic novel. Sci-fi dystopia should be out at the end of this month, and then as soon as the pages are done, the book will be for sale next year.
Excellent.
And will the book be for sale at that website as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's what I want.
Depending on what it is, I'll either have to do a Kickstarter, or if a Patreon does well, then I won't have to do a Kickstarter.
Either way, I want the yep. the whole physical copy.
Oh, sweet.
Like a lot.
Aww.
Jenna?
Not this Friday, but next Friday, Vilification Tennis Game Show.
Oh,
everybody's yes. favorite. My daughter and I will be in the Friday show. There's a possibility one or the other of us might just go hang out at the Saturday show as well. So, yeah, go to that. That is a fun time. It is the Vil show without Vil. we don't do any of the standard format. It is all game show, all improv, and all ridiculous. So
and fun.
So much fun. Love our game show. It's a favorite every year. It's one of the ones that we get to do 2 days because there's enough people that want to see it where we get to do it 2 days.
Excellent.
You should go to both of them because it's improv, so it'll be different each night.
Mm-hmm. And you know who you won't see there? Me.
Yeah, we're over it, Salsa. Yeah.
So that makes it even better.
Yep. James.
Not a fucking thing.
Cool.
Wow.
Yep.
This coming weekend, which is October... I want to say the 14th and 15th, I will be doing my sword swallowing thing in New Glarus, Wisconsin, at a gathering of rogues and ruffians, a little Renaissance festival there, which is a beautiful sight, and I recommend anybody who is able to make it out there to go and show up there. I will be... performing my thing. Fondazzi will be out there doing their thing. There's a bunch of other stuff happening there. It looks like a fun little event. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And mm-hmm. then the following two weekends, Friday and Saturday, the 20th, 21st, 27th, and 28th, I will be also sword swallowing for Bump in the Night, which is the Halloween puzzle escape room put on by the Braden Masonic Lodge. And I will be swallowing swords and telling riddles and kind of being the creepy ringmaster guy.
Nice.
So.
Seems
apropos.
I hate you all.
Yep.
With that, we're going to get the hell out of here. Thank you so very, very, very much to our special guests.
Yay!
You were a delight, and you had no reason to be nervous whatsoever because you were brilliant.
Better than the rest of us.
Fantabulous.
And I seriously, really, honestly, not just blowing smoke up your ass because you're our guest, I honestly am looking forward to reading your comic because it does look amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So with that, unless anybody has objections,
I object.
I don't care.
Okay. If anybody here objects,
we are going to say goodbye and eat the fucking cake.
Night.
So you guys say eat the fucking cake at the end.
Making the noise in the microphone.
Making a little more noise into the microphone.
I'm going to make some noise into the microphone, but it's going to fuck with all of your levels anyway, so...
Yay! Mm-hmm.